I take 1 week off, and SmackDown sucks. It's almost as bad as Raw. Those weren't my words. That was Roman Reigns, back on SmackDown in November. And those words ring as true today as they did back then. SmackDown tonight sucked. Outside of a match between New Day and Los Lotharios towards the end of the night, which partially redeemed the show a little bit. They went out there and had a very good match. Outside of that, this show tonight, I mean, we're this close to WrestleMania, right? We're on the road to WrestleMania. We've got some big names back now. Ronda Rousey is here, and Brock Lesnar is doing Brock Lesnar things. He's making more appearances on TV than he has, I think, the entire 10 years he's been back in this company. But Goldberg is back. I don't know if Goldberg's going to be at WrestleMania. As of right now, I don't believe Goldberg is going to be at WrestleMania. Goldberg has one match left on his deal with WWE. Now we know when that match is going to take place. We know who it is going to be against. We found out tonight that Bill Goldberg is going to be challenging Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship in 2 weeks. Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia. You know, last weekend, we had a Royal Rumble pay-per-view, where in the men's match, you had 30 men competing for the right to challenge for the title of their choosing at WrestleMania. 30 women fighting for the right to go to WrestleMania to challenge for the title of their choosing. Bill Goldberg said, fuck that. Why go through all the trouble when you can just show up on TV and say, hey, Roman, it's going to be you and me in 2 weeks for the championship. Okay. I think Bill Goldberg is the smartest man in the entire company. He must have some kind of clause in his contract anyway that requires him to get X number of title shots in the course of a year. So Bill Goldberg marches on in, and just like that, poof, Bill Goldberg once again challenging for a championship. Just like that. Amazing. Ronda Rousey has made her choice. Ronda Rousey did go to the Royal Rumble last weekend. Ronda Rousey won the Royal Rumble. They did a little tease tonight, a little swerve. They wanted you to think that Ronda was not going to challenge Charlotte Flair. In fact, she is challenging Charlotte Flair for the title at WrestleMania. She made her SmackDown debut tonight. In all of the appearances that she has made in WWE, this was the first time that we have seen Ronda Rousey on SmackDown. And she came out after Charlotte was told that Becky Lynch indicated that she was getting the match with Ronda at WrestleMania, and they were going to sign the contract on Monday. And Charlotte said, well, if that's the case, you know, Sonya was going to give her the chance to pick her own opponent. Oh, it'll be Charlotte and Sasha. They really wanted you to believe that we were not going to get the match between Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. But apparently this is the match that has been in the works now for months. And it is going to be Charlotte Flair defending her championship against Ronda, very likely on night one, in the main event at WrestleMania. Over on the Rampage side of things, AEW Rampage tonight. Two title matches on this show. We had a TNT title match that I thought was good. We had an FTW title match at the end of the show with Ricky Starks and Jay Lethal that was very good with a fantastic finish. I love that finish. A nice reversal of the lethal injection. Picture perfect finish in that match. And a big win for Ricky Starks. We had the build to the Thunder Rosa Britt Baker match. Finally, we are on the road to the most obvious, I mean, to me, revolution, whenever they do it, this is the most obvious path for the AEW women's division is building to Thunder Rosa challenging Britt Baker for the championship. You know, we're coming up on the 1 year mark next month, about a month from now, about 4 weeks. It's going to be the 1 year anniversary of that lights out match on Dynamite between Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. And here we are now. And tonight was the first step. First real major step in that direction. And the other thing also, and I'll talk a little bit more about this later on, but Tony Khan, a little bait and switch by Tony Khan tonight. Tony Khan had indicated on Twitter earlier that he was going to have some scoops. He was going to have an announcement tonight on the show. Didn't really turn out that way. So we had a little bait and switch there from Tony Khan. We'll get into all that. We'll talk about SmackDown first, then get into AEW. This is your SmackDown Rampage review. here on the Sala Monster Sounds Off channel. It is Friday night. It is February 4th, 2022, and I thank you for choosing me for your coverage. I hope you guys are having a good Friday night. Please do hit that like button. Super chats are open. Any of them that come on in, I will read them. If you have any comments about the shows tonight, questions for me, you just want to support the channel, they are open, and I will read your messages a little bit later. But let's just get right into SmackDown here. SmackDown tonight, this is the first SmackDown show coming out of the Royal Rumble last Saturday. And one of the things that they hyped for the show tonight was Paul Heyman revealing all. Because at the Royal Rumble, Paul Heyman turned on Brock Lesnar. He assisted Roman Reigns in defeating Brock Lesnar, who fell to Bobby Lashley. Brock lost the WWE Championship. And so to open the show tonight, we had the Bloodline with Paul Heyman. And Heyman took the mic first, and he said that back on December 17th, in Chicago, on SmackDown, he acknowledged that on that night he made the biggest mistake of his career when he told Roman Reigns that he had to be protected from Brock Lesnar because Paul Heyman said he believed that that's what he honestly thought. As somebody who had been alongside Brock for so many years, he knew what Brock was capable of, and he felt like he was protecting Roman from the beast. And of course, now he realized the error of his ways, and after that is when Roman fired him and gave him a Superman punch, and he acknowledges that he deserved that. So they were establishing that this was not part of some sort of long, drawn-out ruse that was orchestrated at the time that Heyman got fired. This is just something that just sort of developed in the course of things. And he acknowledged that he made a mistake back then. But when COVID picked the wrong human to infect, when Roman got sick and missed the main event of day one, Heyman got Lesnar a shot at the WWE Championship. He got Brock inserted into the main event to make it a fatal five-way with the idea that, he was fired by Roman, but you know, he still had feelings for Roman as his tribal chief. And so you would have Roman Reigns as the champion on SmackDown, who he still loved and adored. And on Raw, you would have Brock Lesnar as the WWE champion. And so that was his mindset. That's why he wanted to help Brock win the championship. It wasn't part of some kind of elaborate hoax. This is the path they have chosen to explain this. And he said, all was right with the world. Brock Lesnar would rule on Raw. Roman Reigns would rule with an iron fist on SmackDown. But then Lesnar chose to go on SmackDown and challenge Roman Reigns. And he chose to go and challenge Roman Reigns to a champion against champion match at WrestleMania. Remember when he teased for the first time that he was going to go and challenge Roman, WWE champion against Universal champion. And the key words that Heyman used in this promo, and I'll talk more about this in a second, but the key words that he used were winner take all. He said, Brock was teasing the possibility of a champion against champion winner take all match at WrestleMania. Now notice the use of the words winner take all, not unification. The word unification was never mentioned once, but a couple of different times in this promo, Heyman specifically said that Brock's idea, what Brock wanted and still wants, is a winner-take-all match at WrestleMania. So that's not what Heyman wanted. And he said Brock comes out with his ponytail and he looks like a schmuck, and now he's acting like a schmuck. He's behaving like a schmuck. And then they get to the Royal Rumble, and Heyman thought that he would spend the rest of his life coming out every week and having to do these long introductions for Brock Lesnar. But Roman Reigns came to the ring. He smashed Brock. And at that moment, he understood. He said he doesn't need to protect Roman Reigns from Brock Lesnar. He needed to protect Brock Lesnar from Roman Reigns. And now there will be no champion against champion winner-take-all match because he doesn't get to dictate what kind of match they're going to have. And as Heyman was about to acknowledge Roman Reigns, Bill Goldberg's music hit. Talk about coming out of nowhere. Bill Goldberg's music hits. And Bill Baggins is joining us here on the stream. He is a brand new Sound Off superstar. So I thought they said Bilbo Baggins, but Bill Baggins, welcome to the channel. just in time to talk about Goldberg. So Goldberg's music hits, and here he comes. It's that time of year, folks. It's that time of year. It's time for some sweet Saudi money. Bill Goldberg is back. Bill Goldberg comes to the ring, and he tells Roman Reigns that he acknowledges him. I acknowledge you as my first victim. He goes, Goldberg versus Reigns at the Elimination Chamber for the Universal Championship. He tells Roman Reigns, you're next. And Roman sort of bobs his head like, all right, okay, if that's what you want. And they play Goldberg's music, and that was the end of the segment. So another fucking title match for Bill Goldberg. Now, if you remember back in the summer, when I first talked about this, and I told they were going to bring Brock back and they were going to do something with him and Bobby Lashley. And I said, well, no. The story to do is Bobby Lashley and Big E, because Bobby Lashley had just destroyed the other members of the New Day. There was a story there to tell. They opted not to tell it. They did a random cash in on an episode of Raw. We see how the booking really worked out for Big E, who now is back on SmackDown, by the way, without any explanation. There's no fanfare to it. There's no rhyme or reason. Big E's singles push is dead. It is done. And he is back on SmackDown. But they brought Goldberg back. And I said, you know, I don't really have an issue so much giving Goldberg a match. My issue was, why does Bill Goldberg need a title match? Because the last time we had seen Goldberg before the summer was at the beginning of the year last year, about a year ago. Remember they did that old school type Raw show, Raw Reunion, whatever the fuck it was called. And Goldberg came out, and Goldberg went to the Royal Rumble. And he lost to Drew McIntyre. He put Drew McIntyre over. Drew McIntyre didn't need to be put over by Bill Goldberg, but Bill Goldberg got a WWE Championship match. And then he vanished. Only to come back 6 months later, and now he's challenging again for the WWE title. And I will pose the same question now that I did, whatever it was, 6 months ago, 7 months ago. Why does Bill Goldberg need to challenge for a championship? There is no real reason for it. The answer is just because. Fuck you, that's why. That's the answer. That's the Vince McMahon answer. And that's why I was wondering, and maybe it's in this guy's contract that he needs to be fed a certain number of title matches. You know, he went to WrestleMania 2 years ago. He was the champion. He was the Universal Champion. And he lost to Braun Strowman. I mentioned the match last year with Drew McIntyre. He got a title shot, and he lost. He went to SummerSlam to challenge Bobby Lashley for the title, and he lost. And then he got his win back in Saudi on the last Saudi Arabia show, but that wasn't a title match. And I was okay with that. I was okay with that because there was no title on the line. And here we are all over again. Last match on his contract, Goldberg coming in. And now Vince McMahon gets the match that he wanted 2 years ago. He gets to put Roman Reigns in the ring with Bill Goldberg. I'm sure Roman Reigns must be shitting a brick right now at the guy who keeps going in there and losing title matches is coming back to challenge him for his championship. I'm sure he's just terrified. Goldberg has that one match left, which he publicly he has said. Last match of his contract. Didn't know when it was going to be. Didn't know who it was going to be against. Now we know. And I guess the story is that Goldberg could play spoiler to Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar wants Roman Reigns. He wants revenge on Roman Reigns. Well, Goldberg can spoil his plan. He's not going to WrestleMania to wrestle Roman Reigns. He's going to WrestleMania to challenge for the Universal title. If Roman Reigns were to lose the Universal title, then Brock loses his match with Roman Reigns, which makes me think that there might be a possibility. Maybe Brock Lesnar gets involved and intentionally costs Goldberg the match at Elimination Chamber. He does the opposite of what Roman Reigns did to him at the Royal Rumble when he costs Brock the belt. Maybe Brock goes in there and helps Roman keep the belt, specifically because he wants to make sure that championship stays on Roman Reigns. Could happen. It could happen. I seem to recall a February pay-per-view many, many, many years ago where Goldberg cost Brock Lesnar a championship. So perhaps Brock is going to return the favor to Mr. Goldberg this time. But I say this. let this be title against career. If this is the final match, possibly ever, in this company for Bill Goldberg, and I don't believe it is, I'm almost positive that they will throw a bunch of money at him. And what's Goldberg going to say? No. If they offer him a contract for a couple of matches a year and we'll pay you $1 million, what's he going to say? No. If he says yes, I don't blame him. This company needs stars because they can't make their own. So they're going to keep going back to these guys until they run them into the ground. They went back to The Undertaker until The Undertaker, literally, his body was falling apart. Pieces, parts of his body were falling off like a mummy. And he said, I can't do this anymore. Goldberg is one of the last relics left of that era. They love stars. They have stars in their eyes. And they have to keep bringing back the old ones because they don't have as many stars of their own today because they don't know how to make them. That's why we keep getting Goldberg. I don't even blame Goldberg for a lot of this. That's why they keep relying on him. So I'm almost positive this will not be the last contract he signs with this company. But for now it is. Make a title against career. I don't even think the title needs to be on the line. You could have just made it a career match. Goldberg shows up and says, hey, you and I have unfinished business. We were supposed to have a match a couple of years ago. I never forgot about that. And Roman says, well, I'll give you your match, but you got to put something on the line. You got to put your career on the line. Then there's something tangible. And in Saudi Arabia, I mean, they probably love Goldberg, but I guarantee you if you did that match here in the States, in a lot of places, people would be cheering for Roman to end this guy's career. So I'm kind of hoping that, maybe they'll throw that stipulation in there. But the fact that this guy keeps being gifted title matches is just fucking embarrassing. Plain and simple, it's embarrassing. You know, the state of this company creatively, booking-wise. There's no chance of Roman losing this match. Absolutely no chance whatsoever. Brock getting involved, though, I think there's a decent chance that that could happen. Brock's going to be on the show. We know Brock's in the chamber already, so it's not like he's not going to be there. But I thought it was very appropriate that Groundhog Day was this week, because it feels like we're just stuck in this infinite loop with this company. We had Ricochet one-on-one against Ridge Holland. Ricochet beat him in 2 minutes. After Cesaro started jawing with Sheamus, who was on the outside, Holland threw Ricochet back into the ring, and when he climbed inside, Ricochet rolled him up for the win. Nothing. This was a nothing match. 2 minutes, quick roll up, nothing to it. So what happened next? It led to another pointless match coming out of the commercial, which was already in progress. They joined the match in progress. It transformed into what else? A tag team match. So we had Cesaro, who was very disappointed, he said, that he was not part of the Royal Rumble match last Sunday. Well, I mean, come on. Or last Saturday, I should say. But I mean, come on. We needed Shane McMahon in that Royal Rumble. We couldn't have a spot for Cesaro, who only a number of months ago was challenging in the main event for the Universal title. Couldn't even give the guy a spot in the Rumble match. Maybe then we could have had some interaction with him and Brock, even if just for a few seconds. Although we all know how that would have gone. It would have been 2 seconds, F5, goodbye. But Cesaro did get a spot on SmackDown tonight. It was him and Ricochet against Sheamus and Ridge Holland coming out of the break. And this time it was Cesaro doing the JOB for Ridge Holland and his Northern Grit finish. And I'm just watching this, you know, the whole comeback from break, turn it into a different match. I mean, it's, you know, we've seen this before. I'm just watching this. I'm watching a lot of the show going, how is it that somebody could watch this show, somebody over the age of 8 could watch this show and think this was actually good television? It's not. It's not. We had Jimmy Uso against Eric of the Viking Raiders. The Usos and the Vikings are going to be meeting for the tag team titles in 2 weeks in Saudi Arabia. Ivar and Jey Uso were at ringside. When Jey jumped up on the apron for the distraction, Ivar went to go take care of him. Old Ivar ended up on the floor, so it didn't end up too well for him. And Jimmy Uso went up. He hit an Uso splash to Eric in the ring, and that won the match for Jimmy Uso. So another 2-minute match, which I got to tell you, watching this match, these 2 minutes and the finish with the Usos going over here, boy, did this get me excited. I don't know about you guys, but this got me super excited to see these two teams go at it at Elimination Chamber. Boy, I can't wait for that match. I can hardly contain my excitement. I can hardly contain my excitement. I might just explode all over my camera here in a second. Put the women and children to bed. We had Natalia against Aaliyah. Aaliyah got a head scissors and a bulldog for a near fall. They spilled out to the floor. Referee started the count. Aaliyah sent Natty into the barricade at the last second and then made it back into the ring at the last possible second. The referee counted out Natalya. And so Aaliyah's win streak over Natty rolls on, right? She got a pinfall win over her in 3.17 seconds. She got a disqualification win over her. And now tonight, she got the always exciting countout finish. So this show was just fucking rip-roaring like you wouldn't believe up to this point. Boy, was I having fun watching this show. Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre was back on SmackDown for the first time in a while. We saw Drew make his return at the Royal Rumble last weekend, but he hasn't been on SmackDown in many weeks. Actually, he beat Madcap Moss at day one. They did that injury angle, so since the beginning of the year, we haven't seen him on TV. So they build this as Drew McIntyre on the warpath, right? Drew McIntyre's angry. He's on the warpath. So, of course, he came down to the ring with a big smile on his face. He said the doctors told him that he wouldn't make it back in time for the Royal Rumble, and he told them to kiss his ass, which doesn't sound very nice. I mean, for God's sakes, the doctor's just doing his job. He doesn't deserve that. But he told the doctor to kiss his ass. He said he was rehabbing 3 times a day, 7 days a week. Now he's back. He said he's got something to settle with Brock Lesnar, but that's for later. Right now, his full attention is on Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss for trying to end his career. Corbin came out. Oh, joy. Well, you asked for it. There it is on your screen. WWE 2K22. Look at Beth Phoenix in her trance. One of our new super chats. Boy, is that scary. Look, Beth is a beautiful woman, but they did her no favors in that cutscene in that game. That is the stuff of nightmares. Kind of like this show tonight. So Corbin came out, and while he was yakking on, Moss tried to sneak up behind Drew in the ring, but he sensed it. McIntyre sensed that someone else was in his presence, and he turned, and he saw Madcap Moss. And Drew said, look, I want you to tell me a joke. Since you're the funny guy, you've been telling jokes at my expense this whole time that I've been out. I want you to tell me a joke. Moss asks him, he goes, well, all right. He said, what is a criminal found not guilty have in common with the WrestleMania main event? And Drew didn't know the answer, and he said, they're both going to get off scot-free. And I will tell you that I thought that was clever. I actually thought that was very clever. I enjoyed that. I think one of the only times that I heard a Madcap Moss joke on this show. And I didn't laugh out loud or anything, but I smiled. I said, that was clever. I will give him or whoever wrote that, I will give them credit for that. Drew didn't think it was very amusing, and he ended up giving him a Claymore kick, took him down. Then he told Corbin that he was going to continue making his life a living hell. Which really means all he's doing by saying that is that he's going to make our lives a living hell. I don't know what the fuck I ever did to Drew McIntyre to deserve this. But he's not through with Corbin or Moss. McIntyre against Moss is now official for Elimination Chamber. They're doing this match again. They did it at day one. McIntyre won decisively. They had a 10-minute match. Drew pinned him. I mean, just do the match with Corbin already and get it over with. It's like kind of like ripping off a Band-Aid, right? Just rip it off. Get it over with. It'll be quick. This makes me worried that they're going to drag this out to WrestleMania. We're going to get Drew McIntyre against Baron Corbin at WrestleMania. I mean, I don't even know what else you do with Drew McIntyre, frankly. If he's not going to be involved for the championship, what the hell else is there for him to even do? Who else on SmackDown would you even put him in the ring with? That's what's so sad about this. I have no interest in seeing Drew McIntyre against either of these goofs. But is there really a much better match out there for him? This is the state of SmackDown right now. It's not good, folks. It's not good. Sami Zayn was standing with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. He was disgusted that they aired footage of him being accosted and forcibly removed from the red carpet premiere of the new Jackass movie by security. It also included Johnny Knoxville, by the way, coming over to him on the red carpet and using a cattle prod on him. So he was not happy that they showed that footage. He wanted to know when he was going to get his Intercontinental title match against Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, he's been the number one contender for this title now for probably a couple of months, month and a half. He wants his Intercontinental title match. Nakamura was only recently cleared from his hand injury. He's been back. He wants his title match. And they offered it to him next week, but he said, you know what, I need a little more time. So they said, all right, how about 2 weeks? And so on February the 18th, in 2 weeks, Sammy is going to get his championship match. That should be a title change. I'm hoping they change the title. This Nakamura reign has been a complete and utter failure. And yes, he hurt his hand. He was out for a while with the injury, even before he hurt his hand. And I don't remember the exact day that the injury happened, but even before he hurt his hand, this reign has been completely forgettable. He has done nothing with the title. Hey, the title looks good on him, but they've done nothing with it. So put the title on somebody else. And let's get something going. Put it on a heel. Sammy is the perfect person. I'm hoping for a title change. I'm expecting a title change in 2 weeks. Now, after he left, Natty stormed into their office. He said, or she said, that Aaliyah has never legitimately beaten her. I guess this win tonight doesn't count. She wants another match with her next week. Pinfall or submission only, dungeon style. And they gave her the match, and she walked off. And we were going to find out from Natty a little bit later on in the show exactly what dungeon style means, but she ran into Xia Li, and she said, you know what, we'll wait until next week. So, hey, they did a dungeon match once at a pay-per-view many years ago with Owen Hart and Ken Shamrock. Dan Severn was the referee, literally in the basement, in the Hart family dungeon where Stu used to stretch everybody. You would hear all the screams. And they pre-taped it and aired it on that pay-per-view. And I remember it being a very entertaining match. I think Owen hit him in the head with a barbell or something to win the match. But that was very entertaining. If they could get back in that house, because I think it's been designated a landmark. I don't know if anybody lives there anymore, but the Hart family house is still there. If the dungeon is still there, I'd love for them to go back to the dungeon and tape the match there and do it there. Right? Think outside the box a little bit. You want to do a dungeon match? Do it the right way. I don't expect them to do that. Now, I mentioned Shinsuke Nakamura. He had a match, a championship contenders match against Jinder Mahal. Do you remember when Shinsuke Nakamura and Jinder Mahal were feuding for the WWE Championship? Oh, boy! What a wonderful time that was on SmackDown. Shinsuke Nakamura could not beat Jinder Mahal to save his life. I think he lost more than one match to him, or at least he didn't win the championship. So now Shinsuke's the Intercontinental Champion, Jinder is doing nothing, and now they're having a championship contenders match. Rick Boogs tried to play Nakamura to the ring with his guitar. His guitar wasn't working. A perfect metaphor for this show. He was trying to play, or he was playing, we couldn't hear anything. Sami Zayn came out to join the announcers on commentary. Nakamura sent Mahal into the ropes for a sliding German suplex. Jinder avoided the first Kinshasa attempt, hit a knee strike. But Nakamura made a comeback, hit the Kinshasa for the win. And that was it. Not much to it. That was it. Now, if you thought that the feud, because now by this point we were more than halfway through the show. So if you were thinking that, boy, you know, one thing we haven't seen on SmackDown tonight is a continuation of the feud between Sonya Deville and Naomi. So maybe it's over. No, it's not. If you saw the Royal Rumble last weekend, you knew it wasn't over, because after Naomi eliminated Sonya, Sonya ended up coming back and eliminating Naomi. So you knew this thing was going to continue on. And it did here in the next segment. Naomi confronted her in the back. She was not happy. She wanted her out in the ring. Sonya was in the back with Adam Pearce. And Sonya said, look, I can, I'm busy, I got some kind of conference call or something coming up, I can't do it. So Naomi said, fine, next week. And you could see the gears going in Sonya's head as she's trying to figure out what kind of excuse that she could think up here. And her excuse was to say, well, we can't because I've already booked you in a match next week. In fact, I booked you in a match against Charlotte Flair. And in fact, I've booked you in a match against Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And this looked like news to Adam Pearce. He had a look on his face like this was the first time he was hearing this. This woman was just pulling this out of her ass. And then Adam Pearce piped in, and because Naomi didn't believe her. And Adam Pearce said, look, if I may chime in here, you have my word. We're going to do it. We're going to do it next week. It's going to be you one-on-one against Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's title. So now that match is official for next week. But the feud will continue. This feud is going to continue right on into WrestleMania. Between Sonya Deville and Naomi. That led to a Goldberg video package with clips of him from WCW and clips of him from his more recent run in WWE. Boy, Goldberg got quite a bit of time on the show tonight. So they're billing this as generation against generation. That is how they are promoting this match. Pat McAfee on commentary called it, these are his words. These are Pat McAfee's words on commentary tonight. Dream booking. Pat McAfee said that this match is dream booking. Speak for yourself. Dream booking. What do you guys think? Hey, maybe I'm in the minority here in this chat. Do you think this match is dream booking? Is Pat McAfee right? I wish it were a dream. I wish it were a dream and I can wake up right now. Then came the only thing on this show worth a damn. Kofi Kingston and Big E taking on Los Lotharios. I said earlier, the Big E singles push is dead. Big E is officially back on SmackDown. He is officially back with the New Day. I know there are people, there are other podcasters who think that this is just a bump in the road. Big E, he's such a nice guy, man. He got jobbed. He got screwed. It's not his fault. Big E is going to climb back into the WWE title or the Universal title picture. You people have no idea what you're talking about. You're holding on to false hope. It's over. It's over. They gave Big E his chance. They booked him into oblivion. Not the strongest booking for a champion. And now it's over. Because they've moved on to the stars. They've moved on to the big names. They've moved back to Brock Lesnar and whoever else they're going to slot in front of Big E. And Big E is right back where he was always going to end up. He's right back with the New Day doing tag team stuff. Before long, I mean, he'll be competing again with Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental title. I will say this. If and when Roman Reigns leaves WrestleMania as the champion, possibly as the double champion, if they do winner take all, it is possible that they will be so devoid of any challengers because Roman has run through everybody, right? He may run through Brock at WrestleMania. He's going to run through Oldberg in a couple of weeks. He's gone through everybody from Kevin Owens to Cesaro to, you know, the Dead Demon, Big E. He beat Big E at Survivor Series last year. So they may need people to put in there against Roman Reigns, let's say if they're going to do Roman and Drew McIntyre later in the year. Well, Roman needs people to beat. Then maybe Big E might get another shot. Temporarily. They might bump Big E up, have a couple of matches with Roman. You might get that out of him. But the Big E push is over. It's done. Don't torture yourself into thinking that it's just a temporary setback. It's over. It's over. Just like with Kofi, right? Kofi Mania, and Kofi became WWE champion. Kofi had a better run than Big E did. Kofi had a better run as champion and a longer one, 6 months. But if you go back and look at Kofi Kingston as the champion, I mean, he wasn't lighting the world on fire in terms of the people they put him in the ring with, but he was largely protected. Even in tag team matches, they protected this guy. They didn't do anything to protect Big E when he was the champion. He never felt like a champion. Kofi Kingston felt like more of a champion than Big E did. And his reign ended unceremoniously, just like Big E's did. So Kofi is where he is. Big E is back where he's going to be. That's just the way it is. Not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong, but this is WWE. And if you believe that Big E is going to come back and get another big push, I don't know what to tell you. But you're going to be sorely disappointed. It's over. But Big E went in there tonight with Kofi, and they tore it up in there against Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. Angel Garza caught Kofi with a great kick to the jaw. There was a spot early in the match before the break where Kofi went for this backwards springboard, like truss dive off the ropes. And as he came down on the floor, Angel just connected perfectly with a kick to the jaw. So they went into the ad break. They come back. Humberto attempted a moonsault. Kingston got his feet up. Big E got the hot tag. He ran wild. He caught Angel with a pair of belly-to-belly suplexes and a big splash. Big E went for the big ending. Angel slipped out, hit the backstabber. New Day ended up hitting a doomsday bulldog combo for a great near fall. And Big E attempted the spear through the ropes that he does, but Garza moved out of the way. Big E got all tangled up in the ropes, hit the apron hard on his way down to the floor. Angel hit a top rope moonsault to the floor onto Big E. And for a second there, I thought they were going to actually put Los Lotharios over. I said, boy, this would be a great chance to put these guys over, right? They're a really good team. Angel and Humberto are a really good team. Well, silly me. They hit a doomsday dropkick combo on Kofi for a near fall. Kingston recovered, and he hit a double foot stomp, and then he and Big E hit the midnight hour for the win. So New Day does win in the end. Very good match. This was easily, I mean, it wasn't even close. This was easily the best thing on the entire show. I mean, there's no, you can debate me all you want, pick some other segment if you want to, but you would be wrong. This right here, not even close. Best thing on the entire show. Then we had Charlotte Flair in the ring for the final segment with Sonya Deville. They had built the show around Ronda Rousey. And Ronda was going to come out and make her decision about who she was going to challenge at WrestleMania. So this was a little weird because they were acting as if Ronda wasn't even there, even though they had been promoting an appearance by her throughout really the last 24 hours. Sonya informed Charlotte that Becky Lynch told them, great source of information that she is, that Ronda Rousey chose Becky as her WrestleMania opponent. I guess after their little tussle on Raw Monday night. And that she was expecting the contract to be signed on Raw this coming Monday, which is going to be airing on Sci-Fi, by the way, for those who don't know. They're on Sci-Fi, I think, the next 2 weeks because of the Olympics. So Sonya was going to give Charlotte instead the chance to choose her own opponent for WrestleMania. So the whole stipulation for the Royal Rumble was that if Charlotte won the Royal Rumble, she would be able to choose her opponent for WrestleMania. And so she was going to be able to choose her opponent anyway for WrestleMania. I mean, think of the logic in this, okay? Now, this ended up not happening, but they were going to let Charlotte choose her opponent for WrestleMania when that was the whole point of her being in the Royal Rumble match, which she did not win, right? Brock Lesnar wins the Royal Rumble match so that he can still get that match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania after losing the WWE title to Bobby Lashley. Brock Lesnar is in the Elimination Chamber. Brock Lesnar is going to win the Elimination Chamber, and he's going to win back the WWE Championship, thus rendering the Royal Rumble completely fucking pointless. Unless, of course, if they do the winner-take-all match, that's kind of the whole point. But to me, all of this just makes the Royal Rumble feel but like a distant memory and a complete waste of everybody's time. The one good thing that came out of it, though, we got rid of the Shane McMahon match at WrestleMania this year. So I guess it wasn't a total waste. Hey, Casey is Raw. Just became a sound-off superstar. What's going on, Casey? Cheers, my friend. So anyway, Charlotte chose Sasha Banks as her opponent at WrestleMania. And I got kind of excited for a second. I said, well, there it is. There's the match I wanted to see. She's like, well, the person I'm going to defend my title against is a woman who isn't even here tonight, Sasha Banks. And they really were trying to swerve you into thinking that Ronda was not going to be on the show tonight. She said, if Ronda wants to choose the other champion to wrestle on the undercard at WrestleMania, she said, that's perfectly fine. Because number one doesn't talk about number two. And she was interrupted by Ronda Rousey's music, and out came Ronda, who actually looked interested in being there. If you looked at her on Raw Monday night from the moment she came out the promo she cut, which was awful. She looked like she would rather have been anywhere else on the planet. At least tonight she came out, she looked kind of happy to be there. She got a babyface reaction from the crowd, at least I think she did. It looked like she did. You can never really tell these days with WWE because everything is a fucking fake crowd reaction. So now you don't even know what's genuine and what's not. Are the people really into her? From their body language, it looked like they were really into her, but it's so hard these days to tell. In fact, if you saw Ronda's segment on Raw Monday night, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because that was probably the most egregious example yet of WWE piping in crowd noise. There was a moment in the Ronda Rousey promo on Monday night where she was talking, and it was very quiet in the building. And all of a sudden, there was this huge, like, raise in the volume of the crowd, like they were cheering, and then it quickly died down. And I just thought to myself, could you possibly make it sound any more phony? Could you possibly make it sound any more phony? But tonight it actually looked like people they were in Oklahoma City, I think. They were happy to see Ronda Rousey. So Ronda said, look, since I won the Royal Rumble here, I'm the one who gets to make these decisions, not anybody else. She said that she didn't leave her baby to fly across the country in an ice storm just to have a chat. And Charlotte was one of many people she said that she owes an ass beating to. She told Charlotte, I'll see you at WrestleMania, bitch. There it is. You want somebody to know that you are in a fighting mood? Just throw that B word in there. It's a WWE specialty. Just tack it on to the end of any sentence. You know, I could open my streams here from now on when I come on here and I say, welcome, it's the SmackDown review. I think from now on, I'm just going to add the word bitch to the end of it. So I'll come on here next week and I'll say, I want to welcome everybody tonight to the SmackDown Rampage review here on the Sound Off channel. It's February, whatever. I am the Solemn Monster, bitch. I'm just going to tack that word on to anything I say. Makes it sound cooler. Charlotte held up her title and said, this is my baby. And she said, my baby is prettier than yours. And Ronda was not amused by that. She took her jacket off. Sonya got up in her face and she said to her, look, you've got a bad temper. You need to control yourself. You know, basically, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. And she kind of she shoved her out of the way. Ronda shoved Sonya out of the way. Charlotte tried to hit Ronda. Ronda ducked and avoided it. And then Sonya jumped on her back, which is not a wise thing to do. She jumped on Ronda Rousey's back. Rousey turned it into a slam and then applied the armbar, all while staring a hole through Charlotte Flair on the outside of the ring. And that's how the show went off the air. The little Sasha swerve there kind of got my hopes up, even though I knew what the match was going to be. But it makes me wonder, you know, given that they teased a Charlotte Flair-Sasha Banks match, it does make me wonder if they're going to do the match anyway. Probably not in Saudi Arabia, but maybe at some point as a television main event, maybe next month. I think we might get Charlotte against Sasha. So, you know, Ronda may have come off, she did to me. She came off more heelish on Monday, even if that wasn't the intent. That's sort of how she came off. There was no doubt on this show, though, she was the babyface here. So there it is. There's your night one main event for WrestleMania this year. I thought the closing angle was fine as far as setting that matchup was concerned, and it was a lot better than what Ronda did on Monday. That was an awful segment. The New Day match was very good. The rest of the show was absolute garbage. I thought the rest of the show was absolute garbage. This was not a good episode of SmackDown. This was not the kind of show that is going to get people excited, really, for anything outside of the key match. And even the key match, you know, how many people are really gung-ho excited to see Bill Goldberg challenging Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber? Or if you're somebody who's tired of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, and maybe you've grown tired of this top storyline, what else do you really have on this show to latch onto that you find truly engaging and entertaining and exciting? Is it Sami Zayn? Is it Happy Corbin? I mean, what is it, Natalia? What else is there on this show? I mean, it's sad to see how SmackDown has fallen in recent months. That's why I led off the stream with that quote from Roman Reigns. It was a scripted line on SmackDown a few months ago, but there's so much truth to it. SmackDown sucks. It's almost as bad as Raw. I can't say it's worse because Raw has that extra hour that just drags the entire show down. But Roman Reigns said it better than I ever could. SmackDown sucks. Tonight was an example of why. However, all hope was not lost because we did have another show tonight. And that show was called Rampage. We had a taped AEW Rampage tonight from Chicago. Adam Cole out for his match to open the show against Evil Uno of the Dark Order. Uno got the already in the ring jobber entrance, as he should. And Uno's a nice guy, you know. I don't want people thinking that I despise Evil Uno, but, you know, when I talked about this on the Dynamite stream on Wednesday, and they announced that Adam Cole was going to be wrestling Evil Uno, I said Evil Uno is at a certain level. Adam Cole should be at a level way above him. This match should not be anything other than Adam Cole going in there and dominating this guy and beating him quickly. That's what I said. Now, we got a whole bunch of two-minute matches on SmackDown tonight. And when you have one two-minute match after another, after another, after another, it's just fucking ridiculous and nobody gets over. But then you have certain matches that shouldn't go longer than that. This match should not have gone longer than 2 or 3 minutes. It was perfect as far as the length. Adam Cole went in there. It was pretty much quick domination. Uno got a couple of moves in on him. He went for a senton. And Adam Cole got the knees up, followed that up with a super kick. He pulled down the knee pad, he lowered the boom, and he got the win. And then Adam Cole got on the mic. And Adam Cole was not out there to crack jokes. He was not out there smiling and jovial. He was as serious as a heart attack. And he started running down a list of all the people that he has defeated since coming to AEW back in September. From Frankie Kazarian to Wheeler Yuta, Orange Cassidy, all the different people, Evil Uno tonight, all the people that he has defeated. He said that he's a new Adam Cole now. This new Adam Cole takes what he wants. He said what he wants is respect. That's what he wants around here. He wants some respect. He said people seem to forget who the hell he is. He's one of the best pro wrestlers on the planet and has been for years. He said at the end of the day, Adam Cole always ends up becoming the guy. He said Adam Cole always ends up running the show, and everybody at the end of the day craves certainty, and there is one thing that is for certain. And he got down, he bent down on his knees, he was staring right in the camera, he wanted that camera right up in his face, and he said that he is going to become the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. And that was his mic drop moment. I said after he lost to Orange Cassidy on the review and on the podcast, I laughed at all the people who said Adam Cole is buried, right? He's buried. He lost to Orange Cassidy. That's it. It's over. His career is over. And I said, let's not jump the gun. The guy is not buried. There is a time to use that word. This is not the time. Adam Cole's going to be just fine. Adam Cole is going to come out of that match, that non-sanctioned match. He's still in their storyline rankings. He's number two. He's right behind Lance Archer. If you look at their rankings on their website, Lance Archer is going to challenge Hangman Page for the title this Wednesday in a Texas death match. Lance Archer is not going to win the championship. And when he loses, guess who the number one contender is for the AEW title? Bay Bay. That's who. That's the match. I've been saying it for weeks. The main event, the title match for Revolution. Is Hangman Page defending against Adam Cole? That's the match to do. And now Adam Cole is out here talking about wanting to challenge for the AEW World Championship, basically throwing down the gauntlet. So there's your tease. There it is. There's the setup. He's not going to lose a single match between now and Revolution. And the match at that show is going to be Hangman Page against Adam Cole. That's the match it should be. That's the match I believe it is going to be. We got a Jade Cargill vignette she was in the back with Mark Sterling. She said that, I'm green, right? She goes, yeah, I'm green like money, which she is. In fact, the outfit she was wearing had dollar bills all over it. Jade Cargill absolutely is money. Jade Cargill is going to be a huge star. Jade Cargill, I think, is probably she would have been better off not being crowned TBS champion so quickly. But nobody with a brain is doubting that she's going to go on to become, I think, the star of that division, you know, in due time. She's still, you know, inexperienced, but she's got all the tools. And she's undefeated. They pointed out the fact that her next win, she'll be 27-0. So this was just a quick little vignette with her. We had Sammy Guevara against Isaiah Cassidy of Private Party for the TNT Championship. Sammy came out with both TNT belts after unifying them in the ladder match against Cody Rhodes. He also had his ribs wrapped up as a result of that ladder match. He took some pretty stupid bumps in that match, so I don't doubt that it's not too far-fetched to believe that this guy would have to walk around wearing tape around his ribs. Sammy hit a nice twisting dive out over the top rope early on. Matt Hardy was at ringside. He got involved. He hit a side effect to Sammy on the ring apron. Referee's back was turned, and they went to the picture-in-picture. After the break, Sammy was in control when Andrade El Idolo's music hit. Out comes Andrade and Jose, and they saunter on down to the ring. And that briefly distracted Sammy. Cassidy hit a backstabber into a pin, only got a near fall out of it. Cassidy hit a draping cutter across the top rope. Sammy was on the apron, so he went flying off the apron to the floor. Cassidy hit a tope. He threw Sammy back in, hit a flying senton across the back. Went for the pin, only got a near fall. So Isaiah tried for a twist of fate, but Sammy turned it into a backslide for a near fall. Sammy hit a springboard moonsault to Mark Quinn on the floor, who was not expecting it. And then Sammy climbed back up onto the apron, and he caught Isaiah Cassidy with a springboard cutter. Only got two, but then he hit the go to hell. GTH connects, and Sammy Guevara retains the TNT title. So this was a good match. When it was over, Sammy was surrounded by Hardy and Andrade. Chris Jericho, who was on commentary squealing all night, he stood up, because of course Sammy is his brother in the inner circle, so he stood up like he was about to do something. Before Jericho could even move, here comes Darby Allin. His music hits, he charges down to the ring, slides in, even the odds, and Andrade backs off, Matt Hardy backs off, and the AHFO retreated. That's what they're calling them now, right? The Andrade Hardy Family Office. Is that the official name now? Darby stared at the TNT title over Sammy's shoulder at the end of the segment, so teasing a match between the two of them. So which makes me think, you know, Revolution is coming up. They're going to have that Face of the Revolution ladder match. We know that. But who is Sammy going to defend the championship against? He still owes Scorpio Sky a match. So Scorpio Sky, maybe. Maybe they do that at Revolution. Based on this tease here, kind of makes you think Sammy and Darby, and maybe they throw Andrade in there. You know, they don't do a lot of, too many triple threat matches, but maybe we get a three-way for the TNT title. Maybe we get Sammy, Darby, and Andrade. I wanted to mention one thing about this Hardy Family Office stuff. You know, they had this segment, it was last week or the week before, where Matt Hardy talked about how he sold 51% of the Hardy family office to Andrade. And he owns 51, and I think Matt has 49. He still has three board seats. Like, they were doing math. I don't want to hear math on a wrestling show. I don't want to start doing math equations. So it was this really convoluted segment. But as we've heard about, you know, Jeff Hardy is you know, next month going to become a free agent officially. WWE tried to get him back, and they said, oh, we'll put you in the Hall of Fame. And he was basically like, fuck you, I want my drug test results, which came back clean from when they tested him after the incident. So Hardy said, thank you, no. And he'll be a free man. We know he's going to end up in AEW. We know this. So it makes me think that maybe the play here is Andrade is going to kind of swerve Matt out of his own faction. He's going to kind of freeze him out of the whole Hardy family office thing. Maybe that's the long-term play here. And when that happens, Matt's going to be all alone. He might be broke. I don't know, but he'll be out of the picture. And that might be the perfect time to bring in Jeff. And that's when we get a Hardy Boys reunion at that point. So, where this is going with Andrade is still unclear to me, but that was kind of a thought that crossed my mind. Maybe that's where this is headed. and Matt gets excommunicated from his own group by Andrade. Jeff debuts, and we get the return of the Hardy Boys, which I think we all know is inevitable. In a pre-tape, QT Marshall. Oh, boy. We had QT Marshall, who said next week on Rampage, he's going to be sending his top student, somebody that we've never seen before. He's going to send his top student in there to take out Hook. Good luck. I think this is going to end very badly for whoever this student is. Hey, Jacob, that's the only math I will allow on a wrestling show is Steiner math. That was not Steiner math that we got in the segment with Hardy and Andrade that week. That was actual math. I don't want to be hearing about that. Steiner math is okay. Steiner math is all right. Back from break, Tony Schiavone was in the back with Chris Statlander, who said that Layla Hirsch needs to start acting like a professional. And as soon as she said that, Layla Hirsch came up from behind her and whacked her from behind with a steel chair. Statlander was on her knees. Hirsch positioned the chair right next to her and then delivered a knee strike and made a great sound when she did. Red Velvet showed up to check on Chris Statlander. This was better than most of these backstage segments with the women. Usually they don't come off so well. I mean, the Britt Baker segments are fine, but they do these quick hits sometimes in the back with the women, and they are some of the most god-awful, just worst segments on these shows. This one was okay. This one was fine. This was not embarrassing. We have Thunder Rosa against Mercedes Martinez, the woman who cost Thunder Rosa her spot in the TBS title tournament. You know, I heard, I didn't see the whole story, but I guess Thunder Rosa, you know, she runs that promotion Mission Pro Wrestling. And I guess, I think she got on the mic at the show or something and was talking about how she's gotten a lot of hate, supposedly, for being a bad wrestler or something. I read something about this, and it didn't make any sense to me. You know, who the fuck would watch Thunder Rosa in these matches and say, hey, that woman can't wrestle? You got to be a real fucking moron to say something like that, so... This is a Thunder Rosa appreciation comment. Thunder Rosa is great. She doesn't need to listen to all the haters out there. There's nothing wrong with Thunder Rosa. And there's nothing wrong with Mercedes Martinez either. So I was looking forward. This is the first time these two were in the ring together. Rosa started hot with a shotgun dropkick. And she threw Mercedes spine first into the guardrail, gave her a suplex on the floor. There was somebody sitting in the front row with a cardboard box over their head, had some writing on it. For those who don't know, that's Kip Sabian's new gimmick. So he's obviously coming back. I've seen him on social media, so if you saw the box and didn't know what the hell that was, it was on Dynamite too. I just didn't mention it the other night because I didn't see it either until after the fact. I was watching something over again, and then I realized there's a fucking guy in the crowd with a box on his head, and then I realized, okay, that's Kip Sabian. For those who were interested. Back from break, Mercedes delivered an avalanche Death Valley driver off the ropes. Thought she had her dead to rights, but Rosa kicked out. Mercedes was setting up for a razor's edge. Rosa slipped out, delivered a knee strike. They wound up back outside. Rosa slammed her face first into the ring steps. And Mercedes reached under the ring, and she grabbed a pipe. She grabbed a lead pipe from underneath the ring, and she whacked Rosa in the head with it for the disqualification. I could not believe what I saw. An actual DQ finish on an AEW show. How rare is that? You can count on one hand how many disqualifications we've seen in this company and still have fingers left over. That's how rare it is to see a disqualification on this show. So it was a lame ending, although we would find out in the following segment. I mean, it kind of made sense. It plays into the story, but still. It was still a lame ending for what was building up, I thought, as a pretty good match. Tony Schiavone, after the match, interviewed Mercedes in the back. And she still had the pipe in her hand. She was interrupted by Britt Baker, who had Rebel and Jamie Hayter with her. And it became very clear in this segment that it was Britt Baker who paid off Mercedes to take out Thunder Rosa. And she was not happy that Mercedes lost the match and said that Mark Sterling may have been the one to hand her the check, but the one who signed the check was Britt Baker. And she made that very clear. And Mercedes said, look, you told me to take out Thunder Rosa. That's exactly what I did. And Baker said, look, you got to finish the job. Finish the job, or I'm going to make sure that your time here is as brief as your time at your last job. And Mercedes didn't like that comment very much. So it looks like we're probably going to end up getting a street fight or some kind of no disqualification rematch with a finish between Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez in the next few weeks. But the bigger story here is they are, in fact, building to Britt Baker one-on-one against Thunder Rosa, which had to be the direction. I mean, it would have been booking malpractice not to go back to this match. The only other person that would have made sense, because they've teased dissension between Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, you could have done that. You could have done that match before and maybe saved the Thunder Rosa match for Double or Nothing. But it seems to me like they're saving it for Revolution, and that's the way to go. Yeah, we're almost a year later since they had their Lights Out match. In fact, I think the week of Revolution, that week is 1 year to the week that they had that great main event on Dynamite and Thunder Rosa beat her. Even though Thunder Rosa won, it was Britt Baker who went on to become the AEW Women's Champion. Now it's time to bring it back. She's beaten a lot of people. Britt's had a nice run for herself. She's beaten Riho. She's beaten Chris Statlander. She's beaten all kinds of people. Right? Ruby Soho. Now it's time to bring it back to Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. And Thunder Rosa should be the one to end her run. Thunder Rosa should win the AEW Women's title. I don't know if it'll be in their first match. I don't know if there'll be a second match. But this had to be the direction to go in. And tonight they took a big leap forward in that direction. We had Absolute Ricky Starks one-on-one against Jay Lethal for the FTW Championship, which does not get defended very often on the show. But I guess it is an official title when they feel like recognizing it. So tonight was one of those nights. And we don't get to see Jay Lethal very much since he debuted. He had that great match with Sammy Guevara. We really haven't seen him since on any of the main shows. So tonight, he had a title match. He hit two shoulder blocks that took Starks down. That led to Starks slapping him. That kind of woke up Jay Lethal. Didn't, you know, sit well with him. Lethal sent him to the floor, hit a tope, gave him a second one. Powerhouse Hobbs was outside the ring, and he confronted Jay Lethal. And that allowed Ricky Starks to catch Lethal with a clothesline going into the final picture-in-picture. So they come back from the break, and Lethal turns Starks inside out with a lariat. Lethal with a La Magistral cradle for a near fall. And as I listened to Chris Jericho shrieking on commentary, it reminded me as I saw this move that that's the move that Chris Jericho taught to Bret Hart. I mean, how often does Bret Hart get taught moves, right? Back when he's in his prime still. Chris Jericho, who had worked in Mexico and saw the move, it was at, I think, the 50-year anniversary show. They had some kind of anniversary show for Stu Hart. This was in 95. And Jericho was in the locker room. They were up in Calgary, I guess. And Bret was there. Bulldog were there. They were getting ready to have a pay-per-view match. They were going to have an in-your-house match in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And Bret couldn't come up with a finish. You know, I think he either was told not to use the sharpshooter or didn't want to use the sharpshooter, didn't know what the finish would be. And Jericho said, well, sir, I learned this move in Mexico, and this could be a great finish for you to use. And Bret said, well, show me. And I think Sean Waltman was there. And Jericho, I think, and Waltman together showed him the move. And that was, you know, he showed him the move, and that was the end of that. And Jericho's watching the pay-per-view a few weeks later. It might not have even been that long. It might have been a week later, a few days later. He's watching this In Your House show. And surprisingly to him, there's Bret Hart. Not only using the La Magistral cradle for the first time in his entire career, but winning the match with it and beating the British Bulldog. So, I don't know. I saw that move and I heard Jericho's voice on commentary. And it just made me think of that story. I just think that's so cool. That, you know, you got this upstart nobody wrestler in the locker room who says, hey, I got a move for you. And Bret's like, hey, you know what? That's a pretty good move. I think I'll use that. So anyway, Starks got Lethal up for a Liger Bomb. Only got a two count out of it. And the two of them were exchanging some hard knife-edge chops. Lethal took him down with a corkscrew enziguri. Hobbs jumped up on the apron at that point. Lethal drop-kicked him off. Lethal went for a tope out onto Hobbs. Hobbs just swatted him away. Now here comes Dante Martin, out of nowhere, out of the crowd. He didn't even come down the aisle. This guy just comes from out of nowhere, jumps up on the top rope, and does this humongous springboard, you know, crossbody splash out onto Hobbs on the outside. Those two are going to be feuding for the next year. It's like the never-ending feud between Dante Martin and Will Hobbs. So Lethal caught Starks with a cutter on the inside. Could have won the match, didn't go for the cover. Instead, he was setting up for the Lethal Injection. And he goes for the Lethal Injection. Ricky avoids it. Lethal tries for a second time. And on the second attempt at the Lethal Injection, Ricky Starks caught him in midair and reversed it into the Rochambeau, which is his finish. He reversed it into the Rochambeau. That was a fucking beautiful counter to the Lethal Injection. He pins him 1-2-3, and he retains the FTW title. A very good main event with a fucking awesome finish. That was very, very cool. They pulled that off beautifully. And a big win for Ricky Starks here. You could say, oh, Jay Lethal lost. Ricky Starks is one of those young guys in this company. You know, people talk about MJF and they talk about Dante Martin and they talk about Darby Allin and people like that, Sammy. You got to talk about Ricky Starks too. We haven't seen too much of him in the ring. I'm still not sure why, if it's, you know, still fear about his neck or whatever, but we need to see more of him on TV. He's another one of those young pillars of this company. And so I can't hate on, you know, him getting a big win and you know, somebody putting him over. I think it was the right finish. And again, a very good match with a fantastic counter to the Lethal Injection to close out the show. Now on Dynamite this Wednesday, Tony Khan is going to have a major announcement. This after Tony Khan tweeted just a few hours ago before Rampage tonight, is what he said. In addition to a guarantee that we have some great wrestling tonight, I'm planning to drop some newsworthy information on tonight's Rampage. Thank you to everybody who supports Dynamite and Rampage. Come tonight for the great wrestling and stay for the scoops. So I'm thinking, okay, well, we got some kind of big scoop that we're going to get on the show tonight. The big scoop turns out to be that he's going to have a big scoop for us next week. Tony Khan is going to have a major announcement on Dynamite next Wednesday. That was the big announcement tonight. That was the big scoop that he tweeted about earlier. Talk about a bait and switch. Now, Tony Khan was on Busted Open Radio this morning. He has his weekly spot on the show. And he made it very clear that there are more surprises and debuts. There's more talent that he has signed already. It's a done deal. He has signed more free agents. They're going to be making their debuts in the coming weeks. We're not going to have to wait very long to find out who these people are. There have been a lot of rumors about Keith Lee in particular. It was in the Observer this week. Keith Lee, the belief is that if he isn't signed, that he likely will be signed by AEW. My guess, he's already signed. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, what show in these next few weeks, or do they wait until the pay-per-view, do we see him? I would be very surprised if Keith Lee does not end up in AEW. So he may already be a done deal. But he made it very clear there's more people coming into this company. He is not done adding names to the roster. There's more people coming in. But he also said something else on Busted Open that was very interesting. He also said that the Forbidden Door is very much still open and is going to be opening again in a big way very soon. And he did not elaborate on what that meant. To me, you know, hearing that says more than Impact. I hear that, I think New Japan. So I have a feeling we're going to be getting some more New Japan talent, probably some pretty big names that are going to be coming in very soon to AEW. But that was the tease. So I thought that there would be some kind of announcement on the show tonight regarding either a new talent acquisition or the Forbidden Door. But the announcement was the announcement about another announcement. It's like, why even say anything? Why even tweet anything like that? Why not just wait until Rampage and then say that, hey, we're going to have a major announcement next week? You ever see those Russian tea dolls, right? Where you open one up and then there's a smaller one on the inside and you open it up and there's a smaller one on the end. That's Tony Khan and his announcements. Open it up for a great announcement. You open it up, there's a smaller announcement. You got to open up the next one. Tony Khan, what are you doing to me? Also on Dynamite, they're going to have their first qualifying match for the Face of the Revolution ladder match. The Inner Circle holding a mandatory team meeting. And Hangman Page defends the AEW World title against Lance Archer in a Texas death match. Next Friday on Rampage, we got Hook against QT Marshall's top student. And Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus defend the AEW tag team titles against the Gun Club. I heard that one of the sons, it might have been Austin Gunn, apparently trademarked the term ass boys or something. I don't even want to know. Hey, at least he didn't trademark the name of a fucking Nazi. So I guess it could always be worse. Let's check out the polls for these shows. Yeah, that's not good. SmackDown poll, 14% thumbs up. 85.6% thumbs down. This was a dreadful show and a dreadful score for a dreadful show. I'm glad I'm not the only one who felt that way. On the Rampage side, much better because it was a better show. 77.7% thumbs up and 22% thumbs down. Hey, RDM in the chat says, thanks for helping get me through this 12-hour Amazon shift. Boy, they're working you to the bone, aren't they? Well, hey, whatever I can do, I'm glad I can be of help. But in any event, you can go at Solomonster on Twitter and vote in those polls if you would like to do so. Now, somebody told me I should check Tony Khan's Twitter, that he may have posted something else. Let me just do that real quick. Since I just talked about Tony Khan, let me just see if he had anything else to say here. We do have more information from Tony Khan. He probably saw all the feedback and said, boy, I have to throw these people a bone here because I promised them something and I gave them nothing. So this is what he tweeted 13 minutes ago. The big announcement for Wednesday's Dynamite that we referenced tonight, and then he put in parenthesis a free agent debut. So now we know what it is. And the person walking through the forbidden door are one in the same. They're walking in the door, signing a contract, and then slamming the door shut Wednesday on Dynamite. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, you're going to get all the people. Oh, my God. Shane McMahon is all elite. Here comes the money coming right into AEW, even though it makes absolutely no sense that Shane McMahon would ever go work for anybody else. Any other billionaire, when he's already got one with the family name, why would he go work for another one? So I don't even want to venture a guess. I just feel like I'm going to start spitting out names and I'm going to be all let down when it turns out not to be the person I think it is. You know, based on what he said there, you know, this person walking through the forbidden door and slamming the door shut makes it sound like they're coming into AEW full time. You know, look, hey, we've got somebody like a Jay White. You know, Switchblade Jay White, who's coming into House of Glory next Saturday for the first time. And he hasn't done anything in New Japan now in months. I think he's pretty much been stuck here in this country. And so I think of someone like him. Maybe it's someone like him. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Again, I really don't want to start spitting out any other names. I just keep going to New Japan. That's the company I keep going to. But hey, you know, you've got Ring of Honor. Even though nobody is technically really under contract anymore to Ring of Honor, you know, who from Ring of Honor, though, would be, you know, if we're talking about one person, not like a tag team or anything, I don't know that there is anybody else, honestly, that would kind of make sense from there. You know, Impact, I keep going back to New Japan. So I don't know. But see, that right there is what either he should have said, look, after Rampage is over, I'm going to have an announcement on social media, or, you know, make the announcement on Rampage. But you had a lot of people watching Rampage thinking, oh boy, you know, what's he going to announce? And then it was the announcement of an announcement. That's why people were making fun of it. Miguel says it's the Solomonster. I don't know. My lips are sealed. You know, Dynamite's in Atlantic City next week. It's not too far from New York. I can't say. My lips are sealed. My lips are sealed. Ray, you're right. You're right. But this match, first time match for Jay White. He's taking on Ken Broadway. So I am looking forward to call. It'll be my first Jay White match. That's really what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to calling my first Jay White match. I got to tell you, we got a big show coming up. Just to take a second here to plug it. Next Saturday. Hey, JM with the $30 Bully the Clown. Fuck Bully Ray Super Chat. JM, what's going on, my friend? I hope you're having a good night. Fuck Bully Ray. But yeah, now the Hog Show next Saturday is going to be good. We got Private Party. We saw Isaiah Cassidy on the show tonight. Private Party's coming back for one night only. We've got Rich Swann and Willie Mack going to be in action. Tag team action. Against Private Party, Jay White, I mentioned. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So, let's go to your Super Chats. I know we have a whole bunch that came in here. RM says, Juice Robinson's New Japan contract is up, and so that is probably who is coming in. So he thinks that it's Juice Robinson. You know, Juice Robinson is either engaged to or married. I don't know if they're officially married or not to Tony Storm. I wonder if I don't know what her status is. Just the way that she left WWE, as far as like a non-compete stuff like that. I would love to know what her status is, because she would be a hell of an addition to that division. Maybe you get them both in. You know, maybe you get Juice and Tony Storm coming into the company at the same time. That would be a nice little infusion, I think, for that women's division in AEW. Chris, yeah, I am planning on putting up more retro episodes of the podcast. That's for the top tier, Legends tier members. Episode 13 is where I left off. Actually, episode 13, which I am in the middle of just editing out some music that can't be in there. That is the post-Royal Rumble 2008 episode of The Sound Of. I was at Madison Square Garden, so my live in-person MSG review and my Super Bowl prediction for that year. There's a lot of interesting stuff on that episode. So that's going to be up very shortly for channel members, Legends members. All right, so Ryan Spies says, if I were to guess, it's going to be Sammy against Darby against Andrade. At Revolution, Guevara will retain and eventually drop the belt to Ricky Starks. I'm with you on the first part. I'm not with you on the second part, though. I don't think it's going to be Ricky Starks. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury with the $5 Super Chat. I am a middle-aged bald man with a goatee. I think I will challenge Roman. You should. Just show up. That's all you got to do. Dr. NXT Scorpio. Who am I supposed to cheer for or care for if Ronda and Flair are both heels? If Ronda is not a heel, then my bad. The show almost put me to sleep, which I might do after this stream. Ronda is supposed to be a babyface. So, no, she's supposed to be a babyface. She was tonight. I do question what kind of reaction, though, that they both will get at WrestleMania. I think it could be ugly. It depends how the rest of this build goes, but yeah, she was a babyface tonight. She might not be treated that way every week. Andrew Jorlog with the $20. Thank you, Andrew. No issue with Goldberg Roman as long as Reigns wins. This could very likely be Goldberg's last match. You know, it's too bad the match with Lashley at the last show couldn't be his last match, because he actually, you know, he won, but they did that big spot at the end, you know, the big spear off the stage. That would not have been a bad way for Goldberg to ride off into the sunset. Anti-M Bishop, evening Solomonster, evening Anti-M Bishop. watching GCW and AEW tonight. Great shows by both. And Terminus on the 24th equals ooh-wee. All the best and stay safe. Terminus is Jonathan Gresham's promotion, right? Terry Allen Jr. Did you see the NWO trailer for 2K22 today? No, I did not. I saw whatever the gameplay trailer was from a few days ago. Whatever they dropped today, I didn't see yet. CJ Rocks, thank you for the $5. Hey, Solo Monster, what if you had a segment called Stump Solo where fans could ask you questions based on wrestling knowledge to see if they can stump you? I mean, you could, but, you know. I mean, like a live stream or people email stuff to me? I'm open to it. Dried chicken without flavor. Hey, Solo Monster, AEW Rampage has shown improvement. Tonight was one of the better Rampages. Every week, you know, it's not a must-see show. Even tonight, it's not a must-see show. It's not Dynamite. You know, at the beginning, the idea was that Rampage is going to be like the third hour of Dynamite, but on a Friday. And it doesn't feel that way, but tonight was an improvement from some of the more recent shows. Irfan, what do you mean? When are you going to do Audible? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. We still have our Audible link. You want to get a free trial, if that's what you mean. The link is in the description below. Dry chicken without flavor. Here's a suggestion. Roman Reigns, Superman punches Goldberg's son in front of the mother to add more heat to the match. We need some crowd heat. Now, we can keep Gage. We could keep Gage at home. We don't need Sunberg brought back. I think we had enough of Sunberg the first time. Quintus Brown, Tony Khan tweeted that a top wrestler will walk through the forbidden door and debut on Wednesday. Is it Okada? Is it Jay White? Or is it Will Ospreay? Jay White, Will Ospreay, I think those would be big names. Juice Robinson, in all honesty, I mean, Juice is very good, but Juice would be a letdown. Unless it's a package deal where Juice is coming in with Tony Storm. I think, you know, for him hyping it up this way, it would be disappointing. It needs to be a bigger name. Okada, it's not going to be Okada. No. I can't imagine it would be Okada. And I don't know what's going on over there. They keep canceling shows because of COVID protocols. I mean, they're still having a real rough go of it. But people like White and Ospreay, they're here. As far as I know, I mean, Ospreay was wrestling for RevPro. Maybe he's not in the country right now, but he was here. Jay White, I know, is here. It might be easier for someone who's U.S.-based. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on right now with all the COVID stuff that I was reading about. Okada, I have every expectation Okada will be in, but I don't see that happening until later in the year. He might not even be the champion at that point, but I can't imagine being this close to the anniversary, right? Isn't the 50-year anniversary, I think, next month? I cannot imagine they would send Okada to the U.S. There's no way. There's no way. Nayef Al-Safar, thank you for the $4.99, brother. Food Hive, late to the party. I'm snowed in at work. Could not watch anything, but I know Solo Monster is going to fill me in. Pause. What up to all my foodies in the chat? I could not have been the only one who laughed tonight when they were promoting Chris Jericho talking about what fast food he what fast food he likes to eat. I can make some jokes, but I won't. Jacob Donnelly with the 12. Tony Khan is teasing a new debut on Twitter. Here comes the money. As if. Ryan Spies with the $4.99. Isaiah Cassidy against a debuting mystery opponent for a ladder match spot was just announced. All right, so we're getting some breaking news here on the stream. Dried chicken, Xavier Weeds, Kofi, and Big E reunited, and it feels so good. Xavier Weeds and Matt Riddle would be a hell of a team. Casey is Raw with the $5 super chat. My Monday routine is to listen to the sound off at work. Actually, guy at my work asks who I listen to, and I think that he subs to you. Well, that would be cool. If that's true. I get stories like that from time to time where people bump into other fans who, you know, hear them listening on their headphones or something, and they also happen to be fans of the podcast. I love when that happens. Sean Waters, $10 super chat. I'm nervous now. 2 years ago, I didn't think there was a chance in hell that Goldberg would beat The Fiend. And look what happened. Do you think WWE really will be that stupid? Yeah, I think they can absolutely be that stupid. You bring up a great point. It was 2 years ago this month at another Saudi show for the same fucking belt that Goldberg pinned The Fiend when I didn't think there was, I don't want to say a chance, but I didn't think they were going to do that, and they did. And that made for a very interesting review, which is still up on YouTube if you want to go back and watch it. I think we're safe this time. Roman Reigns is 500 and something days now as the champion. We know they're doing him and Brock at Mania. Could they have Brock cost Roman the belt the way that Roman cost Brock the belt? Goldberg wins the title. They add another match onto his contract. Goldberg defends one title at WrestleMania. Brock wins the title in the Elimination Chamber, so he gets his match with Roman. I mean, it sounds so convoluted, I can't imagine that they do this. Is there a chance? Of course there's a chance. These people are fucking stupid. So yes, of course there's a chance. But do I think that there's a very good chance of it happening? I don't. Because Roman Reigns is the champion, if it was The Fiend, if it was Big E, if it was Matt Riddle, if it was almost anybody else, I would have very little faith, but because Roman Reigns is the champion, and I don't think that they want to disrupt that reign just yet, I'm fairly confident that that is not going to happen. But yes, I absolutely remember what they did 2 years ago this month. Absolutely will not forget. Will not forget. Brock in the chat says Xavier Weeds against the Underblazer. How about the Grim Reefer from the GCW show the other week? The Grim Reefer is a staple in the independent scene here in New York. Thank you, Sean, though. Sean, again, follow up on the previous super chat. What I mean is, do you think WWE is that stupid to actually have Goldberg win the belt in Saudi? And again, I will say, yes, they are. They are dumb enough to consider putting the belt back on Goldberg. Bob the Builder, who finally beats Roman? Is it Rock? Is it Lesnar? Or is it Braun Breaker? You know, it's not Rock. If Rock beats him, Roman will long have since lost the championship. There's no reason for Rock and Roman to be for a title. And if it is for a title, there's no reason to expect Rock is going to... Why would you put the title on The Rock? I mean, I know he's The Rock, but for God's sakes, The Rock is the last person who needs the championship. They already did that. They did the story already with him and Cena when he won the title and he passed the torch, and that was years ago. They don't need to do that. Think about it. It was almost a decade ago. It was almost a decade ago. And Rock came out of that second match with Cena. I mean, the man was in a million pieces. He tore almost every muscle in his body, and that was then. I'm not sure he should be wrestling now. So when we talk about Rock and Roman and possibly doing it in Hollywood or WrestleMania next year, I don't think it needs to be for a championship. I don't think you can get another year out of Roman Reigns as the champion. Who's he going to wrestle? Who's left? You know, Goldberg comes out, who's next? Here's my question. Who's left? Who's left for Roman Reigns? They could do the Drew McIntyre match. Who's left? Who else is there? Bron Breakker is not getting called up that quickly. I think he'll be called up before the year is over. I think by the draft in the fall, he'll be called up. I'm not sure that they can wait that long. So honestly, I don't know. I don't know who they put that title on. I'm starting to think Drew McIntyre is the one who probably would make the most sense. And even McIntyre doesn't really excite me as the guy. But if not Drew, then who? Bob says, do you think AEW exceeded their expectations with TNT? I do. I think TNT is very happy with how AEW is done. I think they clearly are very happy with how AEW is done. And even though Dynamite went to TBS, they kept Rampage on TNT. But I know TNT executives, and I don't mean I know them, but I from things that have been said and the press releases and all the media stuff they put out, and that, you know, they got reality shows and other stuff, clearly they're very happy with the way the relationship has gone with AEW. Dry chicken without flavor. You got to remember something, you know, they took a chance on an unproven property. They had no track record. There was nothing. They had nothing to go on when they signed that deal. Tony Khan couldn't come to them and say, I have graphs and I have charts and I have case studies and I have, you know, past ratings that I could show you. They had nothing. They were an upstart. You know, they were literally a startup company. And they took a chance on them and it paid off. And I think they definitely did exceed the expectations that they had for them. Now, are they ever going to get back to the ratings they had for the very first episode? What was it, 1.4 million? I don't know. You know, they didn't get there with Punk. They didn't get there with any of the other major signings that they made. I think it might just be one of those things where you got to be patient and hope for growth. The thing about it is, you know, people say, well, AEW's got a problem because AEW has stagnated. There's no more growth. And that is just not true. If you look at the ratings a year ago at this time, AEW was doing about 880,000. They did a disappointing number this week. And that disappointing number they did was still over 950,000. Year over year, there is growth. So the people who say they're not growing are lying. I mean, that's just demonstrably false. So they're growing, but I think ideally you want to get back to those, you know, levels you were at the very beginning. Obviously, some people tuned out at the very beginning. They didn't like what they saw. Can you get those people back? You know, it's probably take a little while longer, you know, to try to grow the audience back to that level. But I looked at that number when it came out for the show this week. You know, I know they were still third on all of cable, and that's great. But I just feel like if you take Monday Night Raw to task and you kind of, you know, joke about the numbers that they get, Raw is consistently in the top five every week. But there are weeks where the numbers go down, and it's worth pointing out that, hey, the numbers were down. You can't then turn around for AEW when they serve up a pay-per-view caliber main event that has been promoted for weeks and say, well, they were third on cable, so it's fine. You know, these are the same people that'll point and laugh at WWE when they do a bad number. You got to be fair about this. So, but again, the tribal tendencies come out. And when I mentioned that on Twitter the other day, that it was a disappointing number, you should see some of the hate comments I got. All I did, I replied to a tweet that had the ratings, and I said, boy, that number's not great. I, you know, thought they would get a better number. And boy, the AEW fans were not happy about that. I had one person say that it's not often I get called a WWE dick sucker, but I did have one person tell me that apparently I'm a WWE dick sucker. I, you know, these people are quite demented. I get called a lot of things, but that is not something I very often get called. Dry chicken without flavor. I still believe Private Party will turn on Matt Hardy, and Jeff Hardy comes in to help his brother. I'm calling it Hardys against Private Party at Double or Nothing. Oh, I think you may be right, but I still think Andrade is going to be involved in this. I think Andrade is going to end up fucking him over somehow. So when he does, I think the whole Hardy family office may turn against him. You're right. We may end up with the Hardy Boys against Private Party at Double or Nothing. I think that's a very realistic possibility, but I still feel like Andrade's the one who's really going to put the screws to him. Deathtronic78, thank you for the dollar. I appreciate that. Jeffrey Hall with the $9.99. I hope Adam Cole does not listen to Jim Cornette's podcast about his issues about him. Has he turned on him? Has Cornette turned on Adam Cole? I'm sure Cornette did not like that loss to Orange Cassidy last week. I didn't either, but I can only imagine what he had to say. Joseph Brooks, New Jack of all people, said that he hated winning titles and that belts are for people who can't get over on their own. Do you agree with this? No, I don't think that's true. I think there are certain people who are so over they don't need the belt. Undertaker was always somebody... That Undertaker character, he never needed to be the champion either. I've heard Jake Roberts say that, you know. He never held a belt in WWE. But he said, I didn't have to. I was over. The DDT was over. I didn't need a belt. And I think that's true. I think that's true. But to say that belts are only for people who can't get over on their own, look at all the people who have held belts. I mean, New Jack, New Jack was dropping knowledge in some of those shoot interviews, and he would say some things that were had truth to them, but I don't agree with that. Mr. Notorious Devs. As a fan of WWE for over 30 years, over the last few years, I despise them for the lack of consistency and creative drive. AEW can hopefully stay alternative. Abhinav Terumala with the $2. I think it's Jay White. Also, Jose should talk on TV. Bob the Builder, Tony Khan's Twitter. Yes, we did read from Tony Khan's Twitter a little while ago. Jay White was the first name I mentioned as a guest. I'm just putting it out there. If it turns out to be him, I'm just saying. I'll tell you what, if it turns out to be him, that's going to make the House of Glory show next Saturday very interesting when we do our commentary. Dougie Dizzle. Tony Khan's major announcement is that the Solomon Monster is all elite. Tell you, man. Just send the money to the account where I'm getting the money from Stanford. I'll have money coming in from Stanford. I'll have money coming in from Jacksonville. I'll get to double dip. It's great. I just need somebody to give me the checking account number. Nobody is telling me where all this money is deposited. I'm still waiting to find out. Scott Woodford, Danhausen calls Guns sons ass boys, and there is a song. Yeah, I'll take your word for it. I don't need to hear it. JM with the 30 from earlier. I agree, Sala Monster. Shout out to Thunder Rosa. Only a clown would say that she is a bad wrestler. Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from. I just heard that she, you know, talked about that, I guess, and a lot of the hate and the abuse that she gets online. And I mean, how can you watch Thunder Rosa out there in these matches and say that she's a... of all the bad wrestlers that we do see on TV sometimes, you're going to call Thunder Rosa a bad wrestler? I mean, you got to be fucking blind. I don't know what these people are watching. Dry Chicken. I consider Isaiah Cassidy the Will Smith of AEW. I don't know what that means. In what way? Did he make $1 million and spend it all like Will Smith did when he first made his first million? Don Juan, I think Veer is coming this Wednesday. So he thinks that maybe Veer is going to walk through the forbidden door. He might. I think Veer is going to end up walking through the wrong door. He's going to be thinking it's Raw. He's going to look around and say, shit, I came to the wrong place. James Auburn. We all love Rosa here, but are fans in general really excited about her possibly beating Britt? I think the DMD is too over for that. The DMD has to lose at some point, and I think that whether it's at Revolution or if it's in May, I think Thunder Rosa is the right person. You just got to start really ratcheting things up and really, you know, building things up between them. This was only step one. You know, we haven't seen any segments with them out in the ring, a joint promo segment or any kind of real interaction between them. They've kept them apart. So, you know, they have time to really heat things up. Thunder Rosa is super over as a babyface. So, yeah, I do think that people are excited about the possibility of her being the one to end Britt's run. And just because she beats Britt doesn't mean Britt can't win the belt back. But Britt's going to have to lose at some point. So, I mean, if not Thunder Rosa, then who would you have her lose it to? Some people have suggested maybe Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter turns on her at some point, or they split. And Hayter goes babyface, and she wins the championship. You could go down that road if you wanted to, but I still think it should be Thunder Rosa. Tomas in the chat says, let's not veer off topic. Very good. Very good. They should have you writing for these shows. Paul Heyman, if Garcia and Danielson form a team, would they be called Daniel Bryan? Interesting observation. Devin the Doppler, hope you're having a great night, Solomon Monster. Did you see Stephanie McMahon's comments about WWE joining the metaverse? Kill me now. I did see something about they're looking into joining the metaverse. I think they should just stay in their own universe. Bob the Builder, Tony added some new stuff on Twitter. Yes, he did. You can go find his tweet from earlier. Darth Panic, if WWE titles are unified at WrestleMania, would that be the end of the brand split? It should be. It should be. And when you take a guy like Big E and you just throw him on the other show without any explanation, and you have Seth Rollins coming over and challenging for the other belt, and you know Brock Lesnar goes where he wants to already, I mean, why have a brand split? What's the point? Tomas, who even cares about any of this besides to see me talk? Oh, I appreciate that. I think he was complimenting me. I think. I don't know what you're trying to say. I don't know what that's in reference to. It's from 19 minutes ago. We've talked about a lot of stuff. We've covered a lot of ground here tonight, Tomas. You got to tell me, what do you think my memory isn't what it used to be. Dan Teller, thank you for the $1.99. Paul Heyman, yet again. Would you agree that the big story coming out of NXT this week has to do with Tiffany Stratton's credit card now being in the hands of a Karen? Here's what I want to know. If Tiffany Stratton is so upset that Wendy Chu has stolen her credit card, why can't she just call the credit card company and cancel the card? She's not too bright. Food Hive, do you enjoy AEW or WWE more? At the moment, I would give the edge to AEW. I mean, there's some stuff at the very top I enjoy in WWE. But a lot of what they do is incredibly frustrating and incredibly dumb. When I watch AEW, generally, I don't get upset about what I'm seeing. I might disagree with some of the things they do, but it doesn't make me angry because there's obvious stuff that is so obvious that they just find a way to screw up. So for that reason, I tend to enjoy AEW more than I do WWE as far as watching the shows week to week. But you can always find things that you like. You're not going to necessarily like everything on the show. SmackDown tonight was just fucking awful. Shows like tonight make me question why I even bother. So sometimes you're going to have weeks like that, and then the next week they might come back and actually put on a show that is passable. You know, it's so inconsistent. AEW, there's more of a consistency to it. That I think is what I appreciate about that product. There's more consistency in the quality of the shows. Now, if you just hate AEW, then you completely disagree with that because you won't like anything about it. But I think the consistency is the key. WWE has no consistency. You can have one good week and then six bad ones. It's fucking maddening. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be that way. Juan Ocampo. Roman against Oldberg. Lazy booking. So says Jim Cornette. Amiibo. Random take, but early Unmasked Kane was underrated. From 2003, when he was being brought out in the chains and everything, I agree. That was one of Kane's better periods. Not my favorite period of his, but one of the better ones. So I definitely agree with you on that. Food Hive, the minuscule militia of malcontents attacked you. Ah, yes, that famous quote from Edge. Who can forget? Who can forget the minuscule militia of malcontents? Because our opinion online doesn't matter, except when it does. You'll notice a lot of wrestlers, when they get very upset about what some of the fans online or podcasters will say, they get very defensive and they get very sensitive and they say, well, you know, their opinion doesn't matter and they're, you know, sitting in their mother's basement. But boy, it really seems to get under their skin. You'll notice that, right? It's the ones that say it doesn't bother me that it probably bothers the most. It's funny how that tends to work. JM with the $12. Solid Monster reading the Paul Heyman Super Chats is one of my favorite rivalries in wrestling podcasting. Sips coffee from mug. Well, it's not coffee in the mug. Paul Heyman is... He is one of the more entertaining aspects of these streams. Food Hive. I love how AEW pivots when something is not working. Yeah, the best example... Well, I mean, we'll see. We're still getting that Brandi Rhodes stuff. But yeah, one of the better examples I can remember of that is the very end of 2020 when they did that angle. Was it 2020? Well, it wasn't 2020. Was it 2019? It was 2019, I think. They did that terrible angle in the last Dynamite of the year with the Dark Order laying out the members of the Elite, and it was just a really awful segment. And I think they basically pivoted and went in a different direction at that point because they recognized the reaction to it was terrible. And so they changed course. You know, when stuff doesn't work, sometimes you got to change course. WWE tends to not do that. Groovy Goose. Goldberg cashed in his... Goldberg, you win the Super Chat of the night so far. Goldberg cashed in his Goldberg in the bank. You get the Super Chat Award of the night so far, Groovy Goose. Ah, that popped me. He's got his Goldberg in the bank. I love it. Actually, I hate it, but I love it. Dry chicken without flavor, Isaiah Cassidy against Vacant on Wednesday. Darth Panic, do you think the Saudi Crown Prince has a say on how the Saudi shows are booked? Who wins? Who wrestles on the show? Yeah, I don't think about who wins, but I definitely think that he has had influence in the past on wanting certain names. Look, there's the famous story about him wanting people like Yokozuna and the Ultimate Warrior on the show, not realizing that they were dead. Remember, it might have been the very first Saudi show they ever did, the Greatest Royal Rumble. They did that big Royal Rumble match, like 50 people. And there was a sumo guy in there. And I don't remember the guy's name. Maybe somebody in the chat can remind me. But it was like a sumo athlete. And the story was that they wanted Yokozuna, didn't realize that Yokozuna had passed away many years ago. And so they just brought in a guy who looked like Yokozuna. I could totally believe that. I could totally believe that. So yes, if he wants or they want certain people on the show, yeah, I think they could have influence. I don't remember that guy's name. Who was the sumo guy's name? I don't know. Shaquille Oatmeal with the $10 super chat. In only a 2-year span, what do you think of the TNT title lineage? Would you put it on the level of the IC title back in the day, or is it more of the US title level? I mean, they're kind of the same thing, honestly. It's a secondary belt. I know Cody Rhodes would never say that. To Cody Rhodes, it's not a secondary belt. It's a secondary belt. It's you know, you have your world championship, and then right below that is the TNT title. It's your secondary title. Yeah, I mean, the lineage would be similar to the, you know, the IC title or the US title. To me, it's you know, it's not all that dissimilar. It wasn't Akebono. It was something else. It wasn't Akebono. I don't remember. Ah, God. What was it? Hiroki Sumi. Okay, that might have been it. Warhawk says it was Hiroki Sumi. That might have been the guy's name. Yeah, that might have been the guy's name. Marcus the Entertainer, with Revolution just a month away, AEW should book a Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Championship and continue building to Rosa and Britt at Double or Nothing in May. I'm okay with them if they want to kind of drag things out a little bit longer. I mean, Revolution is a month away. It's not that far away. But that's why I was thinking, you know, if things explode between Hayter and Britt Baker, you could do that first. If they want to wait until, you know, Las Vegas and do the title match there with Thunder Rosa, I'm okay with that. But doing a fatal four-way, I don't know that you need to do a four-way. I think you could build something between Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. Ricky Edmund. If the Triple H and CM Punk feud happened at WrestleMania 30, do you think Stephanie would have slapped CM Punk? Absolutely. Absolutely. At some point during the build-up, Punk would have been slapped at least once. Without a doubt. And Food Hive, George Costanza would say WWE has no hand. LOL. And Tomas just dropped $1.99. Keep reading forever for my pleasure. It soothes me. Well, I can only read what's sent into me. You want to keep sending them on in? Be my guest. Be my guest. Anyway, for now, I think for the time being, we're not done yet, but for the time being, we are caught up on your super chats. And I do appreciate everybody who sent in a super chat. I love you guys and try to do my best to answer all your questions. I do read them all, as you all know. And also thank you to the couple of new channel members we've picked up, including Casey. Casey is one of our new channel members tonight. There's a whole bunch of archived videos, content on there for all channel members, including that Royal Rumble watch along we did a few weeks ago for the 92 Rumble. We're going to be doing more of those this year. I've got a list. I've got an ongoing list of special matches that we will pick out to do members-only watch-alongs for, so you guys can be live in the chat if you're a channel member. Retro audio. And I'm going to probably be doing another episode of the call-in show, Better Call Saul Monster. I'm looking at next Thursday. So if you're not a channel member and you want to get in on the call-in shows, you got time. You know, become a channel member. I'll let you guys know. But I'm looking at next Thursday night, probably Thursday at 9 again next week. But I'll let you guys know about that. We got dry chicken without flavor. How would you feel about Danhausen in WWE working a program with Vince? I don't need to see Vince on. It's bad enough I see Vince on TV with Austin Theory. I don't need to see any more Vince McMahon. It's sad that I say that, but you know the guy's 76 years old. It's not the Vince McMahon of old. The Mr. McMahon character from 25 years ago is one of the greatest characters in the history of wrestling. He is the greatest heel, I believe, in the history of wrestling. He was amazing in that role. He was fantastic. That Vince McMahon is long gone. That Vince McMahon does not exist anymore. He is no longer a good television character. I honestly don't need to see any McMahons on television. I think the McMahons on television have worn out their welcome. Justin Mack, do you think Ronda's second run will be better than the first? We'll see. Depends on, I guess, the talent that they match her up with. I'm going to talk a lot about Ronda on the podcast on Sunday because when she left, it left a big void, and the women's division really died there for a while. When she left the first time. And I was looking forward to Ronda coming back more as a heel. But I was looking forward to the day that she came back. Because I actually thought that despite a lot of the criticism that she got for the matches that she had, I thought she actually did a pretty damn good job. And she had some good matches. She had one of the best debuts in company history at WrestleMania. She had good matches with Charlotte. She had a good match at the Royal Rumble with Sasha Banks. Even the matches that she had with some other people, Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax. Fucking Nia Jax. Those weren't terrible matches or anything like that. You know, she went out there and she had largely, you know, good to very good matches with people. For somebody who didn't have a lot of experience doing this. And people, you know, shit on her for a lot of that stuff. And I really can never understand it. But she also has a very, she has had a very adversarial relationship with the fans. And I'll get more into that on the podcast on Sunday. as far as my thoughts on Ronda. Tonight was better than her appearance on Monday. The stuff on Monday was terrible. Even at the Rumble, she didn't really look that good. But she's also been gone for 3 years, right? So it's been a while. She's got to get her sea legs back under her. And, you know, depending on who they match her up with this time around, we'll see. We'll see if it ends up being a more enjoyable reign than the first time. Now Shayna Baszler is around. Maybe they could do something with her and Shayna. Shayna wasn't around last time. That little interaction they had in the Royal Rumble was kind of cool, but they didn't really do anything with it. You know, maybe there's an opportunity to do something there. Warhawk Rambo. What a name. Warhawk Rambo. Says, buy or sell, current WWE or 1995 WWF? Well, you're really putting me on the spot with that one. I'll go with, oh boy. 95 WWF was not great. I gotta go with current WWE, honestly. I think there's more for me to find that I can like, I think, now than there was for much of that year. Towards the end of the year, it got better though. So that's where I'm struggling, because the stuff with Brett and Diesel, and then Brett and Bulldog, and Shawn was having, you know, the ladder match at SummerSlam, and I mean, that was just a match. That wasn't like a feud, but you know, 95 was not a complete and total loss, but my God, there was some god-awful shit in 95. That was the year of the gimmicks. It's kind of like what NXT 2.0 is now. You know, only back then it was the garbage man and the plumber and the goon. There were a whole bunch of different ones, right? Isn't that the one where we had Knuckleball Schwartz? Maybe that was 94. I think that was during the baseball strike in 94. That came earlier, I think. I don't know, man. You know what? I could go either way on that. It's a tough call. It's not a cut and dry thing. I could go either way on that. Richie Rich 365, what was your first wrestling memory? Thank you, by the way, for the 1999, Richie. I appreciate that. My first wrestling memory, that is a great question. I've answered the question about my first wrestling live event that I ever went to, which was the very end of 87. So my wrestling memories go back to around that period, 87-ish. And my first wrestling memory, the first thing I think of that I can remember, like from that period, and it bothered me, it actually scared me, was the angle with Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat heading into their match at WrestleMania 3. When Savage came off the top rope with the ring bell and he came down across Steamboat's back, yeah, he was draped over the guardrail. And Steamboat came up and he was grabbing his throat and he couldn't breathe. And I remember they loaded him on the gurney and they're taking him through the crowd, like down the aisle. But the aisle was so narrow, like the fans were like right on top of him and they're like tapping him. Oh, Ricky, you know, get well, Ricky. And the guy, like, he's struggling to breathe. And I remember watching that and I was scared, like he's going to die. Like I thought he was going to die. Like he couldn't breathe. So then they had those segments after where he had to relearn how to talk, his voice, you know, his voice box was crushed. I think that probably would be my earliest wrestling memory. And of course, we all know what it led to. It led to one of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history. Those were the days, man. Those were the days. I don't know. Everybody grows up in their own era and they're kind of loyal to that era. I get it. You know, people today are the same way. They're going to grow up thinking that what they see today, you know, with everything is great. It was just a different time. I mean, the world was different. But the wrestling business and the wrestlers that were in the wrestling business, they were very different at the time. And I don't know. There'll never be another period of time like that. Groovy Goose says, my first angle was Ric Flair's retirement angle, specifically his match with Triple H. Which one? They had so many. They had that great match in 2003 on Raw in South Carolina in Greenville for the world title. I still think Triple H should have put him over that night. I think they should have put the belt on him that night. I think that was a missed opportunity. Turtlehead says his was an Abdullah the Butcher death match in 83 or 84. JM coming in late with the 1995 Super Chat. 1995 Solid Monster. Less programming, less camera cuts, and less Sonny arrests. Yes, that was back during a time when Sonny was still, she had a clean record. She was young, she was naive, she was very cute. She went on to become the most downloaded superstar on America Online. Remember that? Remember downloading the Sonny photos back then? How many of you, you can admit it, how many of you downloaded the Sonny photos from the WWF site on America Online back in 96? Because back then you had the dial-up, right? So I'd be on the dial-up modem 288. 56.6, 56K, whatever it was. And it would be late. My brother would be in the other room. Or my parents are in another room. And I didn't want to wake anybody up. But when you connected to the internet, it made that fucking god-awful noise like an animal was dying. It would wake up the whole house. Also that I can go on the AOL section and I can download a picture. One JPEG picture. One JPEG. It took like, I don't know, like 3 minutes to download, and it would go pixel by pixel, it would load. And it was just like a picture of her sitting on a bench. It was a different time, what can I say? It was a different time, right? And then your mother or your father would go to pick up the phone, and it's like, don't pick up the phone, I'm on the internet! And they would pick up the phone, and that would be the end of your connection. Your connection would terminate, because they had to pick up the fucking phone. Shaquille Oatmeal, earliest wrestling memory was Mr. America lie detector. Been hooked ever since. Niaj in the chat says, I was a Marlena guy, way hotter than Sonny. It always seemed like it was very cold in the room when Marlena was around. But on that note, let's switch over to Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Thank you, Noah. It is time to be the booker here on this, I guess it's early Saturday morning now. But we do a little something called Be the Booker. Just so you guys know, I am planning on working on my own new Be the Booker graphic. I'm going to try to put one together myself. And I will keep you updated. It's going to be a little time consuming, but I'm going to start my little project on Monday. And we might have a new one coming up in the next few weeks. But for now, shout out to Zinfamous, our boy Zinfamous, as we attempt to book the WrestleMania main event. Now, we've done some tag stuff and triple threats. We're going to just keep it simple, one-on-one, see what we come up with here tonight. On the men's side, there's Sean Waltman. We've got X-Pac, or as Steve Austin would call him, X-Pac, who never did get a WrestleMania main event. But I don't think anybody would deny his talent. And it'll be X-Pac going one-on-one with Lance Storm. Hell of a match. But not WrestleMania main event material, I don't think. So let's switch over to the women. See if we can book ourselves a good one here this week. Let's go, let's go. Let's not waste any time. We end up with... we end up with Maxine, better known as Katrina. From Lucha Underground. Well, this is off to a fine start. And who will Katrina be stepping into the ring with at WrestleMania? She'll be going one-on-one with Carmella. Hey, I love me some... I love me some Maxine or whatever you want to call her, but I can't do it. I can't justify that. I can't justify that. Not for the WrestleMania main event. Thank you, Tuxedo. Tuxedo says, I respect you, Booker. I am the Booker man. On these streams, I am the Booker man. Bliss fan, are we sure that Alexa is in? I think she is. I think I've seen Alexa in there. Yeah, never lands on her. I was wondering if she was even in there. I'm almost positive she is. It might be an old photo of her, though. But yeah, no, it never lands on her. It's weird. But again, if I create my own, you know, I'm going to have different versions like in the video games. I'll have like different versions of people. So we'll have like, we'll have the normal Alexa and there'll be the Lady Fiend Alexa. We'll have Dead Man Undertaker. We'll have Big Evil Undertaker. We'll have Solid Monster in there. We'll have, you know, Dave Meltzer will be in there. Eric Bischoff, Paul Heyman, Bobby Heenan, Jim Cornette, Vince Russo. We're going to put them all in there. Dixie Carter, we're going to put them all in there. We'll have a men's and a women's. It's going to be great. If I can pull this off, I'm going to put my skills to the test. See if we can create some new gifts, but I'll keep you guys posted on that. Worst Mania ever. Thank you, Casey. Casey says that would be the worst WrestleMania ever. Well, Marcus, send me a message. Cause I was going to give it a shot myself probably on Monday and see what I come up with. But, if somebody else thinks they have the skills, then maybe they can help out. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for joining me. We covered a lot of ground tonight on SmackDown, which was not a good show. Newsworthy, but not a good show. Rampage was better, and Tony Khan has since tweeted about the major announcement that does concern someone coming through the Forbidden Door, some new talent that they have signed and or that will sign, I guess, on Dynamite on Wednesday. So we have that to start speculating about. And that is when I am going to be back with you live, in fact. It will be after that episode of AEW Dynamite coming up on Wednesday. On Sunday, it's going to be episode 742 of the podcast. And I got a lot to say about this Shane McMahon stuff and all the Royal Rumble fallout that's still being felt. Got stuff to say about Ronda Rousey. I got stuff to say about Brian Kendrick and other things as well. So all the usual stuff. We'll talk NXT. We'll talk some other stuff from Monday Night Raw. Ric Flair was in the news this week. And yeah, so anyway, we'll cover it all on Sunday. Do hit that like button on the way out if you have not already done so. And if you want to become a channel member, you guys know where to go. You hit that join button, it'll give you all the information, it'll list out all the perks, and you can become a channel member and support the channel and what I do and all the streams and all that good stuff, if you so choose. So have yourselves a great weekend, guys. It's been nasty here in New York. It's been snowy, it's been rainy. It's going to finally be dry but cold. Very cold. I hope it's a lot better wherever you are. And I will see you live for the Dynamite stream on Wednesday. Until then, let the speculation begin. I'll see you on Wednesday. Take care, guys.